We're reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words.
And we'll pray. Father, again, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you loved us so much that you gave him to die to be our Saviour. Thank you, Lord, that he rose from the dead. Thank you that he is reigning in heaven. And thank you that he is one day returning to usher in the new creation in which there will be no more suffering. Lord, we thank you for your word, which teaches us these things. And we pray now that by your Holy Spirit, you will give us a deeper understanding. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Linda Bellingham died, of course, this week. She was most famous for being in All Creatures Great and Small, in which she played James Herriot's wife, Helen. She was very famous in the 1980s and 90s for being the mum in the OXO adverts. More recently, she was in Strictly in 2009, and she was a regular panelist on Loose Women. I was driving my car home from taking Robbie and Lizzie to school when I heard the news. I felt a real sense of shock, of course. I didn't know her, but I'd seen her on television only about 3 weeks ago, promoting her autobiography. How could someone so alive, only recently, be dead? Death is always a shock. Far more so, of course, when the person who has died is someone we loved. It seems the Thessalonian church was worried about the dead. Would those who were dead be disadvantaged at the return of Jesus? Christianity teaches that Jesus is God. He's the second person of the Trinity. He is God the Son. Jesus made the world. He came to this world 2,000 years ago to die, to save us and to rise again. Now he reigns in heaven, and at the end of time, he will return to earth to usher in the new creation, the recreation of a perfect world in which there'll be no more suffering. And the Thessalonians, who were very young Christians, they only had the Apostle Paul and his team for 3 weeks to teach them the faith. They are young Christians, and they're worried that those who've already died will miss out. And so Paul writes to them this lesson of tremendous hope for all Christians about the return of Jesus. And I've got three things to say about it. We have a real hope. We have a real Savior. We have a real encouragement. Firstly, then, we have a real hope. Linda Bellingham was incredibly brave on television. She faced up to her death. She said her goodbyes. She put her affairs in order. She may have had a Christian faith. I don't know. But I didn't hear her talk about a faith that triumphed over death. That is what the Christian faith does. Verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, by which he means those who die. Paul doesn't mean that we are unconscious after we die. We are conscious. We're either consciously in the presence of God, enjoying heaven, or we are consciously in the presence of Satan in hell. We're not actually asleep. Paul just means that our bodies are resting, so to speak, in the ground. The Bible several times uses sleep as a picture of death. But his point here is we are not to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. If there is no God, life is exceptionally tragic. There are wonderful things in life, like family, but even that can be hard. Work is hard. Relationships can be hard. There are disappointments, setbacks, trials, illnesses. Life is hard. And then you die. And if there's no God, there is no spiritual realm, there is no heaven, there is no hope. And Paul says, we are not to grieve like those who have no hope. I went to a funeral last year of Geoffrey Fuchs. Geoffrey Fuchs was a well-known minister. There were about 700 of us at his funeral. It was one of the most uplifting funerals I've ever been to. Before the service, we just sang, all 700 of us. We laughed and cried in the funeral as we remembered Geoffrey. The Christian hope was powerfully preached. His widow, of course, was in a state of great grief. Of course she was. I would be if Becca died. But nobody could say that we were grieving like those who had no hope. It was a very hopeful service. And although his widow is very sad, she knows that she will see him again. She knows that they will be together in heaven. We are not to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We have a real hope. Verse 14. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Jesus died. He chose to enter our world. He chose to die in our place. He died our death. He was punished for our sin. And this gives us hope, doesn't it? I don't need to pay for my sin in hell, because Jesus has paid the full price. Jesus died and rose again. This gives us real hope. Jesus has conquered death. In 1994, Brian Kelly discovered that he was terminally ill following surgery complications. Brian Kelly was a fireworks technician. So he decided, rather than having his ashes scattered or buried, he would have his remains shot into the sky attached to a firework rocket. And that's what happened on the 12th of August. He went up with a green flash and he came down as a shower of red and green stars. Now, does that give you hope? doesn't, does it? Here is hope. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And therefore, we can be raised with a new resurrection body. And so, we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. When Jesus returns to earth, he will bring all those who have followed him throughout history. And there'll be a great reunion of all those who are alive with those who've already died. Those who have already died are not disadvantaged. Paul wants to teach these Thessalonians. We often use C.S. Lewis's Narnia stories as illustrations of the Christian faith. That's because they're so brilliant. And this is what happens in the last battle, the last of the Narnia stories. Aslan the lion, who represents Jesus, returns to Narnia for the very last time. And he reunites all those who followed him throughout the history of Narnia together with those who love him in the present. And they go into the new creation. And it looks just like the old Narnia, except that everything is more vivid. And they realize that the old Narnia was just a shadowland. Our current experience of life, our current experience of being human, of our bodies, of our minds, these things are just shadows of what Jesus will do in us when he returns. And he gives us new bodies. Is your body creaking? He's going to give you a new body and a sinless character. Have you sinned today? I have. He's going to give us sinless characters. Verse 15. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Those who've already died are not disadvantaged. We will just all be together. All those who love Jesus, those who've already died, those who are still alive, we will be together. We have a real hope. Because secondly, we have a real Savior. Verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. Can you imagine it? This loud command. Now is the time. Now is the return of Christ. Now is the recreation of all things. What a day. He will come down from heaven. We will hear the voice of the archangel, the top angel, Michael. There will be a great trumpet call of God. For homework, go onto YouTube and listen to The Trumpet Shall Sound from Handel's Messiah. Let the music bring home the glory of this day. Verse 16 continues, and the dead in Christ will rise first. I'm quite old-fashioned in lots of ways. I still emotionally favor burial over cremation. I like the idea of the grave opening and the dead in Christ, the Christian coming forth. I'm old-fashioned. I'm not that old-fashioned. I do have minister friends who will only take burials, not cremations. I think that's wrong. God is just as capable of raising a cremated person. When I took my uncle Bryn's funeral, we scattered his ashes in the sea because he'd been a sailor And I went down to Ogmore by sea with my father and my uncles, and I said the solemn words, "And so, as it has been the will of God to call away the soul of our dear departed Bryn Mawr, we commit his body to the deep." And just then a big wave came up and soaked my Uncle Selwyn, who was scattering the ashes. And just like you, everyone started giggling. And I was trying to be proper and dignified. Actually, I think it's okay to laugh in those circumstances. I think that perhaps the Lord chuckled. I don't know. But it's good not to be too pompous. And I don't think it matters if you're buried or cremated or fired into the sky on a rocket. The important thing is to be in Christ. You see that there? The dead in Christ will rise first. Are you in Christ? That means, do you belong to him? Will you be raised from the dead and reunited with all those Christians who've gone before? After that, verse 17, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. What a thought. It's wonderful to be part of something big, isn't it? We love going to Lord's in the summer to see some cricket. And we like going to the Millennium Stadium in the winter to watch Wales play rugby. We went one year with Gareth Jones, who used to be youth worker here. I think I'll always remember it. There's a great atmosphere in Cardiff on match days. We always go to the same restaurant and everyone's in their rugby shirt and there's lots of singing. You might have Frenchmen singing and then the Welsh will sing a song. But I remember on this occasion with Gareth, we were walking down to the ground and the Wales bus appeared, flanked by police outriders, and we all stood on the pavement and clapped and cheered as the bus went past, carrying our heroes. I'll never forget it. But how much more wonderful when Jesus appears. Jesus will appear. And we'll all line up to praise him, to cheer for him. And all the years when we've suffered for Christ, struggled to keep going, through all the discouragements, on that day, it will be worth it. It will be worth it. We'll be so glad we did it. We'll be so glad we lived for Christ. We'll be caught up in the clouds. Probably the reference to clouds is a reference to all the times in the Old Testament when God is surrounded by a cloud or represented by a cloud. It's a sign of his glory. Jesus will be amazing. Absolutely amazing. He will be glorious. Caught up together with him in the clouds. In his glory. It's mind-blowing. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Just let that sink in. We will be with the Lord forever. How long is forever? We think that to live to be 80 is doing well. We call that a long life. It's actually not very long at all. I'm halfway there and it's gone in a flash. Just yesterday we had babies. Now we have young people who can cook meals and be left in charge of the house. Happened in a flash. No, this life is short. It is soon over. If you're not a Christian, you are seriously missing out. We can be with the Lord forever. forever. We can enjoy him and glorify him forever in new perfect bodies with sinless characters in a perfect universe without any suffering. We will be with the Lord forever. In a few minutes, we're going to sing the hymn, "When We've Been There 10,000 Years, Bright Shining as the Sun, We've No Less Days to Sing God's Praise Than When We First Begun." Can't really get your mind around that, can you? But it's true. We will be with the Lord forever. Now, what is the point of this teaching on the second coming? Is it so that we should argue about the details, as many Christians do? No. We have a real hope. We have a real Savior. And thirdly, we have a real encouragement. The purpose of this teaching is to encourage us, not to cause arguments. Verse 18, "Therefore, encourage each other with these words." Do you? Do we? Do we encourage each other with the hope of the new creation? In the church where I grew up, there was a little old lady called Merle Thomas, and she was very disabled. I don't know exactly what was wrong with her, but she had very limited mobility, and she even found it difficult to speak. But whenever a preacher talked about the new creation, the return of Christ, new bodies, new sinless character, Merle would cry out, "Hallelujah!" from her pew. She was encouraged by these things. And now she's in heaven, enjoying God. Do we encourage each other with these things? Many of us haven't suffered a great deal physically, but won't it be wonderful to have a new sinless character? Encourage yourself with these words. "I'm going to heaven. Jesus is coming for me." And encourage somebody else. "Jesus is coming for you." Encourage each other with these words. Keep going as a Christian, because Jesus is returning. We know the end of the story, don't we? We know there's a happy ending. We know it's worth keeping going. We have a real hope. We have a real Savior. We have a real encouragement. If these things are true for you tonight, you are a happy person. You are a wealthy person. You are eternally wealthy. If these things are not true for you tonight, you don't have this hope. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. Then why not come to him tonight? Ask him to be your Savior. Ask him to be your King. Ask him to come back for you. Let's pray then. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are coming back. Thank you that we have a real hope. Thank you that you are our Savior and that we have a real encouragement in these things. Lord, when we struggle this week now, bring our mind back to these truths and keep us living for you. Keep us living lives which please you and serve you, because we want you to find us busy when you return, serving you. in your name and for your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen.